Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with one of those incidents where we take our Lovell magazine monthly column, Smiley's Picks, into the studios of WOL and meet some of the luminaries of Lovell's art scene. This morning, the brightest of stars, David Roth, my successor's successor as General Director of Kentucky Opera. David, we're around the turn of the year. You must be among those who is looking forward to wishing goodbye to 2011.
Happy holidays to you too, Thompson. Great to be here. And yes, it's been a good year, but it's a year that we can say goodbye to. Enjoy the holidays. I'm sure it'll be a great season for all of us to sit back, relax, reflect, and move on to 2012.
Yep. You've been doing, I hear, some, if not consultancy, certainly discussions around the country about such things as business models and the like in the arts. And you're one of the first I heard to use the expression business model as it applies to an arts organization. Could you explain what a business model in that context means?
Well, sure. It's no stranger to the performing arts organizations, to the nonprofit organizations, to consider your company, to consider your group, if you will, as a company, and look at what is your model, whether it's an artistic model or if you call it a business model. Well, what is that plan for moving forward? What is the plan to take you from point A to point B? Where is it that you want to get in point B? And then the plan tells you how you're going to get there. And I believe firmly in two sides, that given the economics today, in this decade, as I hear now economists talking about it as the lost decade, we have to rethink our plans relative to this economic environment that we are currently working in and that most of us believe will be here for the foreseeable future. The old models don't work. And again, whether you call it an artistic model or a business model, you must rethink that relative to the economic conditions that we're currently operating in.
And when you say economic conditions, of course, one's mind jumps to things like corporate gifts and individual gifts, which we know are in trouble. But there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Absolutely.
It's a fact of life, is it not, that anything born of woman must change or die.
Right.
And I think part of the problem is that some artistic organizations don't seem able to rethink their message and their delivery system.
Right. I mean, it is much deeper than just talking about contributions at the top end. You know, if you look back in the 90s, which was a really golden era and exceeding growth of opera in this industry in the United States, the opera industry had one of its biggest expansions throughout the late 80s and 90s in the United States. At that time, there was the philosophy that there was a certain group at the upper end that you could charge them whatever you really wanted to for ticket prices, just for season subscription, single tickets in that certain group, the prime real estate, if you will, in your theater, wherever that was. And you really had no ceiling as far as ticket prices. That philosophy, I truly believe, is long gone, and maybe it should have been gone. It created throughout the late 90s and the early parts of this decade a belief that we could overcome some of our financial difficulties by simply adding to those ticket prices, which is patently false. And we certainly have discovered that ourselves with Kentucky Opera. We set out in 2009 to consider ticket prices and lowering those ticket prices, lowering the threshold for entry into the art form. And we have now lowered our ticket prices each year. I don't think we have ended that process.
You've lowered them each year.
We've lowered them each year, and we've also discovered a 20% increase in subscriptions, 20%, 25% increase in, as we say, butts in the seats and overall ticket sales for each of those years.
But much of that is driven also by repertory selection, isn't it?
A lot of it is with, again, this new model we've created, the intimacy in the Brown Theater, that engagement of the audience. Not only are they paying less for those ticket prices, but they are getting a better impact, a much higher impact theatrically, musically, vocally, at all of those levels, we're creating more engagement with our audience, with the artistic product.
And also socially, because in my recently published book, all the people who've read it, both of them say that I give you high marks for really repackaging your product in the sense that you look at the total experience.
Right.
From the moment you step foot in that red carpet,
sure,
until you finish your last drink at the cast party afterwards.
Well, thank you for noticing that. And just to make a comment in that regard, you know, in this new economy, earned income, general purchasing power of your audience is less than it was 5 years ago. So people are being more, I guess, discretionary in their spending. And in so doing, they're looking for a bigger bang for their buck. And it's in the experience, creating a higher impact experience that performing arts organizations, live performing arts organizations, can make their impact in their market.
Well, you say live because, of course, the elephant in the sitting room is HD relays, which some people were prophesying 4 or 5 years ago when it started would be the end of live opera in American regions, but it seems not to be having an adverse effect. On the contrary, when you're packing your live performances at the Brown, I go to Tinseltown fairly regularly, one of 30, 40 people there, it's simply not drawing.
Right. And I think there was a major concern in that regard when the cinema broadcast from the Met started about, I think, 5 years ago.
I think so, yes.
When that started, there was concern about cannibalizing the local audience. I do believe that is true in certain markets, and I believe it was true to a certain degree the first years we were here. But again, back in 2009, early in that process, in reaction to that, in reaction to the economy, we took a different direction as an organization and looked at enhancing the experience of our audience. And I think those companies that didn't aggressively go at their model and change their model relative to what the Metropolitan Opera could deliver at a very low price failed really in the last few years and are now having to rethink their business model because of that effect.
And I think, go on.
I do believe there has been effect by pulling opera audiences that are already familiar with the art form into the cinema and out of the local theaters. I don't believe, though, and research has proven this to be true, that the Metropolitan Opera is bringing a new audience into the art form. The Metropolitan Opera is bringing a new audience to the Metropolitan Opera, not to opera. That responsibility and that goal will still be with the local regional opera companies.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I mean, when you go to an HD relay, it's normally an old, much older audience. I mean, it's not this massive component of young people, which is such a characteristic uniquely of your audience. I think one of the root problems is that, as we say, everything must change or die, and opera has changed in many, many ways. It's now technically much more sophisticated than it was 25 years ago.
Sure.
And I was interested to hear one of the video designers for Siegfried saying that rock groups now contact the Met to see what's new, and which is kind of wonderful. But I think the HD relays really attract mainly the hardcore opera audience who go to anything.
Absolutely.
And travel any distance.
You know, and it is interesting to see the evolution of opera just in the last 20 or 30 years. I was listening to an interview with Meryl Streep in regards to her new movie coming out this weekend about the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher.
Can't wait.
And as I was listening, not as I was talking with her, but as I was listening to the interview, she was talking about the changing nature of acting and who some of her original idols were. But if you really look back, as she was saying, at those movies, as an art form and as a talent for actors today, we are so far ahead of where they were, you know, in the golden age of cinema back in the 40s and 50s.
So-called, yes.
To be a true actor in the cinema right now requires such a higher level of talent than it ever did before. And I believe that is true for opera as well. In the golden era, even in the 90s of opera in this country, we are so far ahead as an art form than we were then.
Yeah. I just want to get in one last plug while we have time. Next up is The Merry Widow, which is in February.
Right.
I know it's far ahead, but...
The 19th and the 21st.
That's
right.
Exactly.
Franz Lehár's beautiful operetta.
And the number to call?
is 584.
7777.
Thank you. Yep, yeah, I just lost it for there for a second.
I know how that goes. Thank you so much, David Roth, General Director of Kentucky Opera.